So a little survey as we get started this morning in our teaching time. Just a little bit of a survey. You can please feel free to play along in this survey as we're approaching Thanksgiving and Christmas season. So with this survey, I invite you, we're going old school on this, just a simple show of hands. And if you are affirming something with a yes, you can just say yup. And if it's a no for you, nope. So feel free to play along if you would like. I'm going to make a series of statements, and you can just indicate what's true for you. Here we go. You're really excited that the holidays are coming. Yup. Nope. Okay. A few honest people. Okay. So let's go the other way with it. You're just dreading all of it. Yup. Nope. Okay. All right. Here's another one. You've started shopping already. Yup. Nope. Most of that was guys that said that. Nope. Here's another one. You've started planning for the family gathering, like the meal, the party, that kind of thing. Yup. Nope. Okay. Here's another one. You can't believe you have to get together with those people again, like for the party, the meal. How many of you? Yup. Nope. It depends on the person, right? Some of you are like, yeah. Love the honesty. Let's go. Okay, here's another one. You're sneaking in a little Christmas music here and there already. Yep. Yep. Nope. Oh, some of you are diehards, aren't you? You're just like, only autumnal words of thanks in my songs right now. Yeah. Okay. Now, final two. Here we go. Now, don't respond aloud. On this one, no hands raised, no verbal yep or no, because you might incriminate yourself on this. Here we go. I sense my capacity for joy is strong and growing. Just deep inside, not out loud, but yep or nope. And then here's the final follow-up to that. I honestly sense a dearth, a famine of joy in my soul right now. Inside, deep inside, yup or nope. I got to be honest with you. Now, this might surprise some of you, especially if you've been around me a little bit even. This might surprise you coming from me. Most people who are around me for just a little while know that I tend to be very optimistic, sometimes to a fault. But today's joy focus is a challenge personally for me. I have plenty of days, especially leading up to the holidays, when I can be way too serious, way too overwhelmed, worried, fixated on what I perceive as problems, dark and cloudy situations, or what is bound to become a dark and cloudy situation, etc. And so I really need today's focus on joy. And if you're in that category, I just want you to know I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, big time. It's right here, getting ready for the holidays, that today's psalm, Psalm 98, can really help us. We're going to gain three spark plugs. Spark plugs for joy as we soak in these lines together. Three spark plugs for joy. If you know what I'm talking about, how spark plugs work. They fire and then the engine gets cranking and then good stuff happens, right? Then you're ready to move on forward, ready to move down the road. Spark plugs. We're going to gain joy spark plugs together in the next few minutes so the engine of our souls can really rev strong during this season. Catch verse one. And we're going to see the first spark plug. Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Marvelous spark plug right here. Able to increase your joy for this coming season. Sing about our Lord's marvelous salvation. Sing about our Lord's marvelous salvation. Nothing ho-hum, blasé, predictable. David says, make it a new song. Now, it's not necessarily about the age or style of the music, though it might be. The real issue is, are the words Godward in such a way they capture and they convey your current holy imagination and spark from your heart? See, we're talking about good, fresh levels of gratitude, plus obedient devotion and mission firing in your soul. Does what you're singing reflect the fresh, real-time work of God in your life, in your heart? How has God been working in you, your family, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, others around you? How has God been working? Let your life's musical soundtrack, and all of us, honestly, we all run on a soundtrack in life. We all have the tunes that play in our heads or the things that come off of our lips by way of some kind of song. Does your soundtrack, your life soundtrack, match up-to-date, real-time work of God in your life? Verse 1 starts the call to praise, and then rather quickly gives us the cause. A couple weeks ago, I shared it when we launched this series that praise psalms like this, that there's that kind of flow to them. They give a call to praise and then cause, like reason, like the source behind it, like the good stuff behind it that calls forth such praise. So verse 1, right out of the gate, this call to praise and then rather quickly gives us the cause. But before we dig into the cause, keep these ideas in mind for responding to the call, for more intentional singing and joyous worship in the coming weeks. Here's the first idea. Be open to new tunes or new twists on tunes in tandem with God's new work in your life. Be open. Break out of your old ruts. Traditions are good and meaningful until tradition becomes traditionalism and then quickly slides into rutualism, a rut. What's that? Well, that's where you get stuck. You're just kind of slogging along, but you're really kind of stuck. And your music and your own thought patterns become mindless. So there's really no real, actual, soulful engagement. And friends, you know how this goes, especially the holiday season. This is a real danger, right? That just what you're hearing and what you're mouthing just becomes ritualistic, stuck in a rut, not really engaged from your soul. Here's the second big idea. Tap into the Manor Spotify playlist. Now, this comes out in weekly emails. Some of you have caught on to this, and you know it is sweet. Gabby curates this for us every several weeks, and there'll be a fresh one coming out coinciding with what we'll be singing here on Sunday, so watch for it. It is great. I want to encourage you to tap into the Manor Spotify playlist for the coming season, because it'll really kind of prime your soul in advance to get ready to sing when we're together like this and all throughout your week. It can just be that spark plug for you in how you praise him. Now note the cause. What a spark plug. You see it? Marvelous things. Marvelous things. His wondrous, miraculous works. Psalmist David employs anthropomorphic lingo, like God's human, with agents of power. Hands. Stick your hands out in front of you for a minute. Just go ahead. Play along. Stick them out there. A little wave. Wave at a neighbor nearby. Go ahead. Wave. All right. Now arm. Arms. Go ahead. Even if you don't normally work out at the gym, go ahead. Just flex it for a minute. Yep. agents of power. In the Hebrew way of thinking, for God's ancient people, hands and arms, especially right hand and right arm. Sorry if you're lefty, but right hand and right arm is considered like this notion of power and authority. The psalmist uses that to speak of God's power and his mighty working. Marvelous things. What's he done? Worked salvation. Worked victory. Now, like Psalm 96 2 weeks back, when we explored that, Psalm 98 also has the backdrop of 1 Chronicles 16. That's the actual historical setting. 1 Chronicles 16, David was in that scene singing passionately when the Ark of the Covenant came into the new sacred tent at Jerusalem. Here's great celebration, 1 Chronicles 16. God's victorious work for his people. David probably, note this, he probably has the whole big story of God's saving work in mind. That victorious work all across Israel's history in mind, from delivering that initial family group through Abraham, and then things like the Passover, and the Exodus, and the Red Sea experience, and then event after event of victory, of salvation for God's people. Israel's history of God delivering them from their enemies, yes. And for David, as the leading warrior king, he knew firsthand the power of the Lord's victories in battle, in the now, real-time salvation. Case in point would have been, as a young man, David's own classic, up against the gigantor Goliath, plus a host of other saving, victorious moments for David and company. Now, truth be told, if we're deliberately reflective, if we are deliberately, intentionally reflective, we can learn to recognize God's real-time marvelous works for us. His in-the-now saving work. And such real-time reflection on his everyday salvation gives you cause for joyous praise, so that you truly sing about the Lord's marvelous salvation. You say, really, Pletch? Some of you are saying it. I know you are. Really, Pletch? I don't know about that. My life is pretty glum, pretty miserable a whole lot of the time. Okay. I don't know every inch of your trials. I don't. But always? Only miserable? All the time? Are you sure there are no marvelous, wonderful things whatsoever? I mean, what about the Lord's victory delivering you that job that you prayed and you prayed and you prayed about and you waited on him, and woof, victory. He delivered. What about the tenacious strength that he's giving you right now to navigate that sticky, quirky, ugly family situation? Deliverance. He's working victory. How about the diagnosis you thought would be horrific, and it's actually turned out way better, and you learn to trust him even more? Or maybe it's not yet turned out way better, but in the thick of it right now, you're seeing him change up your perspective and motivate new things in your soul and grow you in ways that you would have never grown without that difficult trial. Always? Only miserable? I mean, think on it. What about, fill in the blank. What about, fill in the blank and reflect. See, we have way more cause to joyously praise him than we really envision. Reflect and sing anew. Now look at verses 2 and 3 and catch another spark plug for joy. 98, 2 and 3, it says, "The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." This salvation theme gains sharper focus. Psalmist David is trumpeting how God's not playing hide-and-seek, cat and mouse. He's made it known. You see that? Known and revealed. So we can see it. Thoroughly revealed. Such victorious deliverance. Catch how this saving work has spread beyond just Israel to the nations and all the ends of the earth. What's that mean? More people, more places. More people, more places, God's mission. It's amazing. His spread more saving love intentions have been moving forward through his people and plans all across the story. His mission moving forward like that. Psalms like this one prove it. Here's our next spark plug for joyous praise and jubilant singing. See his saving faithful love for people everywhere. See his saving, faithful love for people everywhere. And this is so important as we roll into this season, because often as we roll into the holidays, it's a time when, if I'm not careful, it becomes all about me, all about mine, all about my family. Everything kind of play it safe and keep everybody happy and all the stuff that goes with me and mine and ours and we versus others. And it's spots like this psalm that show us, wait a minute, the salvation of God is constantly on the move in mission outward toward others. More people, more places. See his saving, faithful love for people everywhere. David very intentionally spotlights. Now watch this. He very intentionally spotlights God's love and faithfulness. See, these are twin character qualities of God's saving nature and action. This is not flighty, disposable, fickle love like we so often peddle as humans. No. This is loyal, covenant love, promised love. It's the won't stop, won't quit, never give up, never run out, always style of sacrificial love. God's ultimate style of love. And it travels in tandem with faithfulness. Faithfulness, rock solid, totally trustworthy, count on him forever. This is how committed God was and is to his people and his plans of mission in this world. He remembers this about his own heart and ways. Did you catch that? He remembers this. He remembers this about his own heart and ways. Never forgets. Never flip-flops. He doesn't waffle on this or change his mind. And again, see what he says. It was true and good for Israel, his special people, and all the rest of us who by faith respond to such love. God's not a snob. Playing favorites, or only working his wondrous salvation for a highly select private club few. No, no, no. The big issue becomes this. Are you personally trusting him and his love? Are you personally trusting him and his love and faithfulness? Something very special to realize about this word salvation. Or you may have seen it in your translation as victory, salvation, Psalm 98. The ancient language, Hebrew lingo, that word right here is just like Yeshua, Jesus' name. It's just like that and points us to his personal saving work for us to rescue us from our sinful condition, from forever death, and eternal judgment in hell. That's the rescue. That's the salvation. Yeshua, our deliverance. Salvation has a name, Jesus. It's a stunning word that gets wrapped into Jesus' very name and supplies for us this stunning spark plug for our joy. And we really need rescued. We do. Because most of us know too many joy killers. We all face them. You do. I do. What are some joy killers? Think on it for a minute. Joy killers. Piled up dismal days. Anybody know about a dismal day? Go ahead, show of hands. Know about a dismal day? Had one lately? How about a pile up? Pile up of dismal days. Joy killer. How about bad luck, circumstantial, bad luck, air quotes, bad luck, circumstantial gloom. Joy killer. Worry over aging parents. Can be a joy killer. Worry over troubled kids. Can be a joy killer. Physical illness, either your own or somebody near you. Joy killer. A fear of death and dying. Joy killer. Deep inside, struggling with grief. Struggling, it can be a joy killer. Financial woes. Especially at the holidays, another big joy killer. Addictive temptations we can't seem to shake. Joy killer. Anxiety that's teetering on the depths of depression. Joy killer. Workplace burnout. Some of you are right there, you're like, I so need a new job. Joy killer. Now this is in the face of the precious reality that more and more people around us, your family, your workplace, your neighborhood, we all really need some people to show up in our lives as CJOs, chief joy officers, chief joy officer. Would you dare to take on that challenge? To let something spark inside you this season that then for your family and for your workplace and for your neighborhood and others around you becomes CJO material, chief joy officer. The wondrous reality of Jesus makes that possible. If you're inside, I know, I see it on some of your faces, you're scratching your head going, yeah, John, you don't know how crummy my life is right now. Oh, whoa, wait. See, the wondrous reality of Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord's salvation, so much greater than all of this miserable stuff, which at the end of the day really is very, very temporary. Truly. It's just that when we're in the thick of these joy killers, it's easy to feel like it's an eternal sentence to the depths of a dungeon. And the truth is, it's in the grand scheme really temporary. I'm growing more and more convinced that St. Paul had a place like Psalm 98 in mind. Watch this. Psalm 98 in mind for Paul when he said this in Ephesians 5:15-20. Ephesians 5:15-20. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms. Oh, catch that? Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Yeshua Christ. Did you catch it? Did you catch what Paul said? Don't seek your life's joy fill up with alcohol. Now this becomes a big temptation this time of year. So we're just talking turkey about this before the turkey meal flows and the alcohol surrounds it. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Notice how frank Paul is. That will ruin your life. That leads to debauchery. Instead, verses 19 and 20, what's he prescribe? psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. This ought to be the fill-up for our lives in the coming weeks. This ought to be the fill-up. You want to become a chief joy officer. Let this flow in your life. Drink this in. Live this out. Now catch another joy spark plug. Verses 4 through 6. Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Here's our third joy spark plug. Shout for joy to the Lord. That's it. What's this mean in the depths of the original language? Shout! Yeah, that's what it means. When's the last time you actually shouted in music? God's people, the Israelites, employed all these different instruments, sounds, and creativity, and we aim to do similar today. Do you make the most of music here at Manor? Plus your other musical engagement every day. Do you have musical engagement every day? Do you make sure that you're listening to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that will creatively spark and engage new things in your heart and mind that will spark what's good and holy and real time about God's work in you and through you? Do you shout? Really? Literally? When's the last time you shouted? How about actually doing that in a few minutes when we sing again? Let's see if we can kind of blow the Gabby and the praise team off the stage, okay? Try it out in a few minutes here. But not just blow them away, but ultimately notice the goal. Shout, shout to whom? Shout to whom? The Lord. The King. Joy to the Lord. Joy before the King. Watch this. Take a look. Now, you know, in the next several weeks, you're going to have this come into your ear from every imaginable performer of all kinds, from pop performers to stuff right here. You're going to hear it. It's interesting to realize that Isaac Watts composed the lyrics for Joy to the World based on Psalm 98, our psalm today. He was an English poet and something of a rebel clergyman. He paraphrased, and that's what got him in trouble. He paraphrased the entire Psalm 98 in two parts, and it first appeared in his famous collection in 1719, the year was 1719, the collection was called The Psalms of David Imitated. Again, this is what got him in trouble. Imitated in the language of the New Testament. Watts, commenting on his paraphrase of the psalm, said this: "I have formed out of the 98th psalm what I esteem to be the first and chief sense of the Holy Scriptures." Eventually, his lyrics were matched with the musical tunes of two composers, Handel, yes, of Handel's Messiah fame, and a composer named Mason. And their creative influence is responsible for it catching on and influencing our Christmas joy all these years later. Here's the big question. Will you let such good news truly spark in your soul and transform your outlook this season? As you do that, we will be mobilized as a whole team of CJOs. Will you let such good news truly transform you? Try some shouting with joy to the Lord. Try some shouting with joy to the Lord. Get ready for it to transform how you see life, how you do life. Now I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. The team's going to come, and as they're coming to get ready to lead us in a closing song, I'll invite you to listen to how Psalm 98 ends. Listen to how Psalm 98 ends. Let the sea resound, everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Now catch how this crescendos. The world and all who live in it, let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is joy about the coming king, the coming judge of all. All creation, the whole world gets involved right here in shouting joyous song. Why? Why? The Lord's coming. See, King Jesus came to work salvation that first time for us. And he's coming again to judge in righteousness and equity. That means nothing capricious, suspicious or unreliable about his judgment. We can count on his loving, saving work. You can count on his loving, saving work. He will deliver us. Think on this. He will deliver us from all that's wrong, warped, wicked. He will deliver us from the grip of sin and death and judgment, the judgment in hell. He will deliver us, save us. The evil one and his evil outcomes, death and hell, will be swallowed up, defeated forever. So right now, real time, let's sing out with joy.